It's not about how much time you're there, it's about quality time, quality time, quality time, quality time, quality time, quality time. Quality time.
Okay, this sexist joke.
No, not, there's no okay.
I'm not people the are, female to ask that.
People
know
are going
to
be offended regardless.
Look, since this isn't part of the show, she can just get pissed off of me just in private. Because if it was like an all female podcast, we could call it content.
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 Is like, that was all for that? That yeah. was it. That was yeah, it. That was
I didn't want to offend her.
Thank you.
I like controversial.
Controversial. Oh yeah. Welcome to Quality Time, everybody. We're rolling. Yeah.
I'm still alive.
I captured all of that for you, Jeremy.
I'm still alive.
Welcome to Quality Time. My name is Eric Woodworth, your hostess with the mostest.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, fucking metal shit, bro. And I'm joined by my very lovely co-host, Miss Kimberly Ambrose.
Hey.
How are you, Kimberly?
I'm good. Christmas is over.
Oh.
I'm excited. I love it.
I love Christmas. I got little babies, and little babies are fun at Christmas time. And I thought it was pretty dope. And I had Christmas in my house, and so I didn't have to go anywhere. So I really enjoyed the book out of it.
See, you didn't have to go anywhere.
That was the coolest part.
My favorite time of year is December 26th because I have a whole nother year till Christmas, and all I got to do is sit on the fucking couch.
That is pretty fucking sweet.
That's how I like to live my life.
And to my right, my blood. My brother, the man who one time we were housed in the same vagina, different parts.
Wow.
Give it up for Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth, everyone.
Yeah, this fucking guy.
I joined yous tonight, you people, as I'm actually Vladimir Putin tonight.
You Vladimir Putin?
Vladimir Putin. Wait, come on. My Russian accent.
Fucking Vladimir Putin. Come
You're
on.
Not British Vladimir Putin?
No, I'm British Vladimir.
It's me, Vladimir Putin again.
Okay, Vladimir that was the worst Vladimir Putin ever. So
I believe that you could do worse than that. I really do. Anyway, welcome back to Quality Time, Quality Timers, and it's a new year and a new day. We've been doing a lot of fun things. Before we hop into the show, we've had a couple of fun things that have happened lately that I just wanted to catch people up on. Jasma, let's start with you. Or should I have started with you? I've lost all my show prep. I can't even.
I could really go for
it. Oh, yeah. Jeremy, you went to Christmas, and this is the only thing that he gave me. He said, Christmas dinner with death.
Well, I had a really, really good Christmas. Christmas dinner with a family up in New Jersey. And I like to call this Christmas with death. My brother-in-law is at least 450 pounds.
Whoa.
And because of the fact that he's fucked up so bad in life, the mother actually lets him sleep in a shed behind the house.
Ooh, shed life.
Because will not let him in the house because he's that much of a fuck up and I'm pretty sure still smokes crack.
It's like, at least I can live in my shack where I can smoke crack still.
Yeah.
Thank God America still exists.
Well, I'm glad he kept his dignity.
So the best part... The best part is my wife said that he actually lost 50 pounds. I was like, really? Is he down to 400? Like, I wonder if he's not waddling. No, he definitely still waddles. He waddles like a penguin when he walks, literally side to side. So I had Christmas with dinner with death, which was literally watching this man gorge down spaghetti and what was, I guess, mussels or some sort of shrimp, just sucking it into his mouth, just watching my wife and also the mother just rolling their eyes.
Hi, Jeremy, can you pass me some of the stealth ring?
The first 10 fucking seconds into this meal, I'm listening to this, and I'm like, please eat with your mouth shut, where I'm almost ready to lose it. And he's like, what are you talking about me? I'm like, yes, I'm talking about you. Who else is eating with their mouth? And he's literally like 50 years old. I was either like, please get me the fuck out of here.
Jeremy, I dropped my straw for the gravy. Can you hand me my straw again, please? I can barely, I only drink gravy through a crazy straw. So if you could hand it for me. Oh, it's Jerry, there's chunks clogging up my crazy straw I drink my gravy with.
The best thing is that Eric makes fun of me for being the pig scumbag that I am. But I see a person who's 10 times more of a pig scumbag.
Oh, this
scumbag.
Isn't a complaint. This is a celebration.
No. It was horrible. It was absolutely fucking horrible.
Well, the reason, it's not that he's not allowed in the house. It's that he can only fit through shed doors.
Yeah.
He is literally looking at living death.
Ugh.
So
I like that he has to live the same type of lifestyle that a lawnmower lives. Did they winterize him for the winter?
So anyway, that was my Christmas dinner.
Wow.
And kept back from screaming at a grown man. So
good job.
Yay!
Yeah, that good was job. Good, Jer. Yeah. Okay. Well, then it's good to have. You know, it's good to keep people around that do crack cocaine to make you feel better about your own life.
I think it's funny
that's
that,
the one thing I've learned.
And they're at least 100 pounds more than me.
I think it's funny that somebody that looks like they're stuffed asked for stuffing.
I like that you're like, you know what? I'm a pretty good husband, because you go in like, oh, her brother does crack and weighs an extra 100 pounds. Yes. I'm basically an Adonis.
I am gonna live so many more years than him. Wait, oh, I'm getting a little winded. Can we slow this down so I don't say so many words during the program?
I had some pretty cool shows over the last week. It was pretty awesome. I'll say it. I had one of the coolest shows I've ever done in my entire life.
Hell yeah.
I went down to, we did the murder mystery, and we did a couple shows. We did McGoobies and the DC Improv, but goddamn it. The Virginia Beach Funny Bone is one of the best venues I've ever performed at. Mm-hmm. It was a sold out show, top tier, filled up, and the bottom.
That's
all
awesome.
To the nines. And I do a little musical number in the Merry Murder Mystery where I, as a naked Santa Claus, sing a song, which is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. And during when I'm singing that song,
it's very powerful.
With the guitar, mm-hmm. everybody in the audience like took their table candles and lifted them in the air. So it was an entire like sold out show holding up this, and I never like chills. Like I didn't
I have
know
goosebumps
right
now.
I was just like the moment it really hits me when I'm like on stage and it's happening. I'm like, well, you do your show, you don't really worry about the audience and you just do
right.
It was the first time where I was just like, holy shit, this is too fucking cool right
yeah.
now. I don't even know how to process this right
yeah,
now, how
yeah,
fucking
yeah.
badass this is right now.
Yeah. Can I ask if this was with my beloved Justin Schlegel?
It was with the Schlegs, yeah. It was with Schlegs. So Justin Schleg and
I like to call him my beloved now.
He loves you. He has messaged me multiple times that he said, you know what? You've grown on him a bit like a tree moss or a fungus that you need to get a prescription for.
Or a cancer.
Yeah. I'm rewriting the Beethoven story to my immortal beloved, and you find out at the end it's Justin Schlegel.
You know what?
So.
It probably is like a cancer because it's going to grow on him until it kills him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, really good shows, man. I was very excited.
That's
and,
fucking cool. That's like you were saying, that's one of those things you can't plan for.
I can't.
And it's not like you guys, like, it's not like we designed that moment for, it's not like every other time we were disappointed that didn't happen.
Right.
It's just cool that it did.
Yeah, it was pretty badass. I was very, very excited. And, yeah, that's all I got,
that's
guys.
Kick-ass.
That's it.
You guys have to practice that after not doing it for a year?
Well, yeah, it was called the DC Improv. That's
so you actually perform it, don't
okay,
practice it.
So true story, when we did the DC Improv show, Tommy showed up late. We had like some other people stepping into some other roles, and we have a dance number that goes along with this. Also, Tok, who's in the Merry Murderer mystery, missed his flight, so he couldn't he couldn't make it. So we had to call in a local comic from DC, Haywood Turnipseed Jr.
Hell
to step
yeah.
in.
Shout out!
We have a video at the beginning that plays where Tok is in it, so we just had to mention like, oh yeah, this is our black guy who's now five
dude,
feet
and they
taller.
Couldn't be more
yeah,
different.
No, they like, could not. What is like 6 foot four with dreadlocks? The other one is short and muscular. It's night and day difference, right?
Should have had Leland Clayton instead.
So right. That's even just as different a black person.
Yeah.
You know, black people are really different.
I can't tell the difference between one black and another.
So we get up there and we have the dance number. We go over backstage a couple times. We're like, okay, you got it. You know, we had and you're like, yeah, let's go out and do it. And I will let you know, I nailed the dance.
Yeah, you did.
And nobody else did.
Oh,
everybody.
Man.
And we all looked like four people that are doing four completely different dances. Everything was completely just horrendously horrible. Like, it was the worst dance number we ever did. We were bumping into each other. I knew we had fucked up because there's one part where, like, I turn my back and I know I'm supposed to do four hops and we're all hopping backwards together. And I when I went to hop back, I peeked behind me and everyone was on the other far end of the stage already.
No.
I was just like, oh shit fucked up right now. Okay,
but you just steam ahead,
and we just steamed ahead, yeah. And I made up for it by doing face plants and stuff like that. You know, classic Eric Woodworth stuff to save the show.
Top shelf quality comedy stuff.
But even in that situation, the crowd loved it. They
hell
loved
yeah.
the, I mean, that was fucked up, but there was still plenty of funny parts. Justin was still Justin Schlegel, and we had a great show overall.
Nice.
So.
Hell yeah.
Yas, but. It now brings us to our New Year's special, ladies and gentlemen, the end of day.
Die Neuen Jahres Specials.
And to commemorate the movie, the 1999 classic, End of Days, I feel dirty for saying...
Die Enden auf dem Tagen.
For saying the word classic with this movie.
Yeah, whoa. Ed Wood would be insulted.
Here's a compilation of all the times Arnold Schwarzenegger screams in the movie End of Days.
Oh, I hate that part.
There you go, everybody.
What are you on your period? God.
Is that the part where he's fighting Snokes?
Yes, where he's fighting General yeah. Snokes.
So
that was
my friends, when I was younger, my friends had this running joke that there was a stereotypical movie scream, that there's this like clip of a sound.
It's called the Wilhelm.
Okay, I'm going to try my best to imitate it, but it's like, hah! It's like that. There's like
they have a compilation. Yeah. Guaranteed, they have compilation.
I heard it in this. There was like a. I think something happened. Someone like threw something into a building, or a building exploded, and you hear a couple people like and then you hear the and I was like, there it is.
In Indiana Jones, when the little car goes off the cliff, that's when you hear a villain.
Okay, yeah.
The other one is Empire Strikes. No, Return of the Jedi. When the one guy throws the thing and one of the stormtroopers goes off a cliff right there, you hear the But
good
almost
times,
almost
yeah.
every single Spielberg and what's his name, Lucasfilm has that in it.
You know, yeah. it's a sound that makes you feel good about somebody dying because
yeah.
you're like, that wasn't real. That's
it's
clearly
not,
fake.
Yeah, it's not quite in pain.
Definitely in all the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings films, they have that in every single one too.
All right. Well, the movie End of Days came out in 1999 and was directed by Peter Hyams. And Peter Hyams is actually known for a couple other movies. One was 1997's The Relic, which I remember kind of finally. We might do a quality time in the future about The Relic. 1994's Time Cop, another great pulp movie. Sorry, Jean-Claude Van Damme, about time travel and police work. And
was that a canon film?
No, I don't think it was a canon film. Was it?
Maybe.
It's a possibility. I didn't do show prep to find out.
I'm not sure if every single Jean-Claude Van Damme movie was a canon film.
He's so French and muscular. And then he came out with a movie in 1992 with John Ritter. Do you know what it is, Jeremy?
Problem Child?
No. It's a very it's a cult classic.
Three's Company, Treasure Island.
No, last guess, Jer. Do you know John Ritter movie from 1992? Give you a hint. It's about being stuck inside of a television.
Oh, damn! I don't remember the name of it, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, Stay Tuned. 1992. With Dwayne and something's Underworld.
Selma, help me! I'm trapped in this TV. Yeah. Sorry, that's Amazon Women on the.
Yeah,
phone.
They get
Sorry.
They get a satellite TV and get sucked into it, and it's a whole movie about John Ritter and his wife going from channel to channel in Satan's TV world, and
yikes.
It is. One of my favorite movies. I remember it very fondly. It's primo. You guys should go back and watch. Anyway, originally the role of Jericho, which is played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, was actually supposed to be Tom Cruise. But Tom Cruise opted out of the movie.
Smart.
And instead starred in the 1999 movie Magnolia. So what an idiot. Not Steel Magnolia, just Magnolia.
Well, you have to admit that Steel Magnolias had the best spaceship scene of any movie I've ever seen.
Yes.
I feel like
I had a comment earlier this week. All right. I'm in this group called Movie Props,
okay.
Where it's like people who share like their movie props that they own,
okay.
Or it's like pictures of people trying to sell their movie props with like their certificates and stuff.
That's cool.
So somebody posted up this picture of this ridiculous spaceship that like
I think it was Bumblebee's spaceship from Transformers.
Yeah,
4.
Okay.
Yeah, and immediately like the nerds on there are like, oh, this is from Transformers 4. Also, it's from Transformers 5. Like this, it's in two scenes in this. They like give you a whole chronological,
yeah.
And people like keep chiming in or whatever.
Fucking nerds.
So I immediately in this thing I was just like, oh, that's actually from the movie Steel Magnolias, the space cancer deleted scene. Very rare. And it's got the most likes of anything on the thread.
Everybody
and then,
on there was like, shut up.
And then there was some guy who tried to steal my joke like two comments later and said something about like I think it was some other stupid movie that was very much like Steel Magnolias. He was just like, oh, it's from this. Ha, ha, ha. I was like, nice try, pal. Yeah. I already got the joke, okay?
Papa Bear's already got the honey from this hive, okay?
I tried my best joke, okay?
But it's still getting likes every couple of days. I keep seeing that thread. I'm like, oh, nice. You guys still respecting it.
Here's my question. At what point did a director hear again, yeah, you're going to be working with Schwarzenegger? And he was like, fine.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it if you insist.
Oh, let me guess. He's going to be tall and yelling.
Yeah. Now, Arnold... it was actually really hard for Arnold to get in this movie because his last movie prior to this was 1997's Batman and Robin.
Mm.
Now, the hiatus was due to the fact that Arnold had had heart surgery after the movie because he was having issues.
No kidding.
And no insurance company wanted to insure Arnold Schwarzenegger to go back to do an action movie.
Hmm.
So when they finally did get insured, there was literally like all the big wigs of like an insurance company's watching the production of End of Days to see if he still had it, which he quickly silenced all those critics with his sweet biceps and veiny arms.
He doesn't come into the movie for quite a few minutes.
That is true.
And I remember saying out loud, this is going to be very entertaining until Arnold shows up.
Oh, don't say that. Now, this movie, End of Days, is actually the second of four movies with the word day in it that Arnold Schwarzenegger is in, and three of which he is the lead role and also include a biblical reference. The other two were Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Uh-huh.
The next one is in the year 2000's The Sixth Day, and Around the World in 80 Days, which he has a small cameo in 2004.
What about Conan Days of Thunder?
Conan Days of Destroy.
I will drive this car faster than I've ever drawn it, and I will be king of Aqualonia. Sorry.
The Running Man 2, Days of Marathon.
Sorry.
I would say bigger action actors that I'm a bigger fan of, probably Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah. He's good.
Definitely Chuck Norris.
He's not better. Not
I believe
better.
Chuck's conviction that he wants justice. You know, I see it in his fucking eyes and in his beard, and I fucking feel it on my couch.
He has a strong beard, and it's easy to trust him, but he's more like, I feel like Chuck Norris's greatest role is like your uncle slash estranged father that teaches you how to hunt. Like, that is the only thing that I really buy him as.
Yeah.
As a karate man, I'm like, are you being serious? Like,
right,
clearly.
Yeah,
You learn karate as an adult.
Right.
Like, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop with your dumb ass.
Oh, okay. probably Bruce Lee. I'm a bigger fan of Bruce Lee, I would say. Not Jackie Chan. I wouldn't say
I love Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan, I love.
Here's
Jackie
my
Chan
problem with both Schwarzenegger and Jackie Chan is that I don't forget I'm watching a movie when I'm watching them. Mm. Jackie Chan is so charming. I'm always aware that I'm watching him, and he's kind of funny and sort of like has that little smile. And then Schwarzenegger, like, dude, I can't with his accent. I can't.
Come on, Kimberly, stop bullshitting me.
I took down a line here because it just fucking killed me. Somebody said something fucked up to him, and somebody else goes, No, man, calm down. And he goes, no, I held what he said. And I was like, I can't. He just sounded like he vomited that sentence and swallowed it. Like, I can't.
I like how he says, my favorite Arnold thing that he says is, especially, it's in the next movie, which is End of Days, where they talk about clone and cloning, which Arnold calls clowning.
Clowning.
He's like, you know, it's dangerous because there's all these clowns around. Clowns will come out of the woodworks and kill you.
Very dangerous.
You know, it's dangerous when you make a clown and the clown fucks your
like
wife.
how many action movie editors sat there and like looked at take after take after take, and how many times did they just go, it's not going to get better.
That one right there.
I'm not going to get a better cut than this. This is all I have to work with. He calls them clowns.
Has anybody done like the best bad ways of Arnold talking in movies? And my favorite has to be Total Recall, was when Sharon Stone says, but honey, we're married. And he's like, consider the divorce.
Consider the divorce.
There's so many syllables that didn't need to be in that sentence.
Right, right.
Listen, to me, Arnold is a true American hero for the simple fact that he was an immigrant that came here that just had the world's most perfect body and became the world's biggest star in the whole world.
And now he governs a state.
He did govern a state.
Yeah.
Now it's fucking Jerry Brown again.
Oh, yeah.
Who is, you know what? The dead Kennedys were right. We will all sit down at the hands of President Brown.
Yes.
Anyway.
Ever since Schwarzenegger came to the States, he's been coming all over.
Now, speaking of another German-Austrian accent in the movie, Udo Kier is featured prevalent in this movie. Jeremy and I really love Udo Kier and pick him out of every single movie that he's in. But he was actually considered to be the main role called quote-unquote the man or the devil in this movie, who ultimately became Gabriel Byrne, but they'd considered Udo Kier to be the main devil character, but on second thought, when they saw that it was going to be Arnold with a German-Austrian accent and Udo Kier also with a German-Austrian accent, they were like, yeah, it's probably not going to be a good thing to have just all Germans leading this movie. And
he was
they
cool,
decided
though. He was super
it.
Ominous.
Yeah, isn't he creepy? He would have been
super creepy.
He would have brought a really cool role to the devil in this
and
movie.
What's cool,
I think
he was just as creepy sitting at dinner with his family as he was when he was when he fed a baby blood of a snake off his finger.
Yeah,
it was just as equally as creepy.
But we'll get to all that soon. The cast is rounded out, as I said, by Gabriel Byrne, who plays in the movie. It's called The Man or the Devil or whoever you want to call him, Lucifer. Arnold Schwarzenegger plays Jericho. CCH Pounder, who is one of my... Actually, I know her from The Shield. She actually plays one of the detectives in the show The Shield.
Yeah.
She also plays a detective in this, Marge. Robin Tunney, who plays Christine, who's most famous for the movie The Craft, is in this movie. Udo Kier, who plays the head priest. Kevin Pollak, who is in just hundreds of movies, plays his partner, Bobby, probably most known for The Usual Suspects.
I hate to say, seeing Pollak cast in this, thought it would have been the perfect role for, Mrs. Roseanne, otherwise known as Tom Arnold. So.
Tom Arnold. Yeah, that would have been a good... Yeah, just basically do True Lies again. It's just like, hey, buddy, you want to go kill the devil? Let's get real excited over here, all right?
Hey, wait a second. Tom Arnold's asking an extra $1,000. We'll put Pollak in there instead.
Just think of how fun Tom Arnold would have been in this movie, though. He was just like, don't you understand? I'm Satan himself. You clearly haven't met my ex-wife.
Booyah! Like,
this is the funny comic shtick we would have gotten with a Tom Arnold in this film.
The guy that played the Pope, he was the guy in the wheelchair in Breaking Bad.
Yes, I call him, I didn't pull up his name, but I refer to him only as Pope Salamanca.
Yes.
So, Pope Salamanca.
I'm sorry, he's doing Italian accent and Spanish accent in Scarface.
Yes.
And I swear to God, the first time I saw an interview, he's got this thick Brooklyn accent. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is acting. Wow.
Yeah. And he's also in a wheelchair as the Pope, too, mm-hmm. which he's also in the wheelchair in Breaking Bad,
where he
plays Mr. Salamanca.
Still alive in Better Call Saul.
The cast is finally finished off with Rod Steiger, who plays Father Kovac, the good, nice priest, and Miriam Margulies, who plays the stepmom and the nurse. We'll get more to her soon. I really like the opening of this movie when it opened up. I thought they were pretty good, like as late 90s credits as you could possibly
Agreed.
Be. Like,
Agreed.
It looks like weird scrolls and it's kind of creepy and ominous. There's fire. It's what, as much as I loved the movie Jason Goes to Hell, I wish this intro that they had for End of Days was the intro for that mm-hmm. movie, because then I would have liked it. Probably
it was
just
such
a
solid
more.
Intro. You could almost remove the words from it and put it for anything.
Yeah. This could have been the opening for Angels and Demons.
Totally.
It could have been Joe versus the Volcano. Yeah. It could, any. It could have been the Money Pit.
Now we're just sounding like Trump. It's perfect. You put it in everything, it works. It's perfect.
It's one of the best.
It's going to be great.
One of the best intros we've ever made. One of the best intros we've ever seen.
I hate to say I love the cinematography of the movie.
No, it's very
it's
well.
Good.
It's actually really well done, and the director. It's well directed. The story isn't bad.
I blame it on the actors and the script.
It's the actors and the script, though.
Yeah,
the story itself is kind of compelling of a story. It's
but they never.
Compelling.
It feels like all the important parts that are supposed to bridge you into feeling emotionally attached, they just removed. Because every scene, I kept being like, I'm not caring enough about what happens to these people.
No,
No,
that is true. Well, the movie opens up, and we're in the Vatican. A priest opens a scroll, which. It says in Latin, end of days.
Was anybody else bothered by how rough he was? I was like, whoa, you're going to tear it. It's like 7,000 years old.
Stop it. Those are Dead Sea Scrolls. You handle it with your magic hands.
Yeah, right.
Peter, get in here with the tweezers. Old Joseph is handling the scroll papers again.
This is why we wish that, what's his name, Leslie Nielsen was still alive. So he goes to the scrolls like... Half price off on fries and checkers. You gotta bring it to the Pope.
I almost wish that, like, instead of this guy, they had just replaced, like, with the Three Stooges. Like, dummy, you're not supposed to touch it with your hands. Like that. And just they start slapping each other. Like, we gotta get this to the Pope Salamanca immediately. He's gotta see this. You gotta give it over here, dummy.
Should we go into the entire. Bundle the whole reason that inspired this movie.
What was it? What inspired? Oh yeah, I guess before we get too far into
Good
it,
thinking.
Jeremy, and only Jeremy thought that this movie was actually inspired by what?
By the song "Sex with Satan" by Piledriver.
All right. Well, I've queued up a little bit of Sex with Satan by Piledriver. Give us a little background on Piledriver, Jeremy.
Heavy metal just really up your ass.
Okay.
So, you know.
Well, here's Piledriver, Sex with Satan.
Probably the best songs about being excommunicated because you have sex with Satan. So
I'd say the second best Sex with Satan song. Everybody knows the first is Bump and Grind by R. Kelly. Anyway.
And also pretty good for Dave Mustaine, I must say.
So. The priest quickly brings it over to the Pope and says the eye of God is opening. The Pope is also drug kingpin Mr. Salamanca. We kind of made reference to that earlier. He sends the Pope sends the priest to go find the girl and protect her from evil. Next scene takes us to New York 6 hours later, and Udo Kier is delivering a baby, which they then take back take away from their mother, and have a creepy satanic ritual that involves him slicing open a viper and then spreading the blood on the baby, and then letting the baby like suck on his finger with the blood a little bit so that she can get a little taste of...
At first, I thought he was going to make the snake bite the baby, and I was like, I won't sit here and watch that happen. I was very mad. And then that didn't happen. And I was like, okay, cool. He, like, killed the snake. I was like, okay, crisis averted. And then he rubbed the blood on the baby. And I was like, all right, that's weird. And then it just took a fucking hard left turn. He put a little on his finger and just, like, rubbed his mouth with it.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, being sexy almost. And he was like, you suckle on that. And I was like, whoa! We don't know if that snake has AIDS. What are you doing?
Have some of my viper AIDS blood. It is the nicest. Everyone loves it.
It's always good with some gallbladder.
That's a gallbladder. You must get it with a gallbladder.
Can I ask him if she's seen either Frankenstein or Dracula?
Andy Warhol's?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Both starring Udo Kier as Dracula and as Dr. Frankenstein.
Nice.
Yes.
It's good
Hell
stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. They then, you also notice the nurse there, who is Miriam Margolis. She then hands the baby back to the mother, who just got it C-sectioned out of her. They have a loving moment, and that ends the scene. It then brings you to present time, because this was about 20 years ago that this is all happening. And it's three nights left in before the year 2000.
When all the computers crashed.
You get to hear the guy mention Y2K. Remember how scary Y2K was when that was a thing?
I don't know if my family is like smart enough to not give a shit about like hearsay, or if we just don't give a fuck. Because my family decided, hey, let's go on a cruise for the 2000 New Year. We could have got back to a dead civilization, and we were just like, well, I've gained 15 pounds on free ice cream, so what are you going to do?
Bermuda.
If only they had programmed computers to go past the year 2000.
When we got back to Kokomo.
My dad said when it hit zero, when we did the countdown, hit zero. You know, we're in the middle of the ocean. It's dark. My dad said the captain should have shut the lights off and been like, psych, and powered him back up. Everybody would have woken up to like shit and piss everywhere, like, we're going to die.
Take me now.
It's all just a joke.
Which I will say, not a risk I'd be willing to take anymore after that Italian captain. And then there was like 2 weeks later another problem. Not as fun. Yeah, I don't know about all that.
So then you're taken down to the ground level of New York City, and you get to see some low-level street workers down there who are working in the sewers, you know, hard-working New Yorkers, you know, not doing anything, really not doing anything, just looking at stuff. Ugh. And all of a sudden, there's a rumbling, there's a shaking, and the sewers explode with fire, a fully predator-active camo demon exposes itself from the fire and then goes right to a dinner party where Gabriel Byrne is sitting and invades his body within the bathroom there. And then Gabriel Byrne, who is, he's a sexy choice for the devil.
He is. His hair is perfect.
Jet black. Looks so good. He just
volume for days.
Yeah, yeah. And he has now been possessed by Lucifer himself. And interesting note, this is one of two movies that Gabriel Byrne starred in 1999. One is this, where he plays the devil. The other one, he plays a priest in the movie Stigmata, also 1999.
Also a much better movie.
Also a much better movie than this. Also
I have a
much
note
better.
On that. When he transitioned and he came out of the bathroom and he grabbed that lady's titty and made out with her.
Yeah, in front of that dude. He literally cuckolds this dude's wife right in front of her.
I said, now he's a badass fancy man. Before he was just a fancy man. Saucy sexual harassment. She didn't say no, but she didn't say yes.
No. The devil doesn't ask for consent in this movie at all.
You know what I think his wife wanted?
What's that? There you go. We did it, everybody.
She definitely wanted sex with Satan.
So, yeah, he makes out with some dude's wife. Also, like, it's cool.
What a shitty husband.
Yeah.
He was just, like, totally... If my husband didn't punch that dude in the fucking throat, I'd be like, what are you even doing?
Yeah, he stood
up. What are you doing?
He stood up. He's like, hey, stop. Well, let's see where this goes.
I'm so surprised I can't even.
Well, he, like, saw her. He's like, maybe she's into it.
Right.
And he's like... Nice.
What if he was like, he better grab her pussy or he is not a gentleman.
So he cuckolds some dude's wife and then walks out, and in classic 90s explosion movie history,
love it.
He walks out, clicks his fingers, and blows it up for no reason, just because he can.
Fuck it.
I just blew up a whole restaurant.
Because that wouldn't be totally suspicious on a security camera.
No. Hey, he just blows up an entire restaurant the second he walks out of it.
That's so badass. If I had the power... Every time I left the DMV.
Can I explain that scene, which makes total sense?
Please.
Yeah, please.
After he had turned into Satan in the bathroom, he urinated in that urinal. Hence, that's why it blows up, because he has,
right.
Because of his satanic piss.
His fire pee-pee.
That makes everything catch on fire, so... Makes total sense.
It's brought into play later, too.
Right.
Why didn't I see that earlier?
It comes into play later, his weird super explosive pee.
Otherwise known as the secret of the ooze.
Yes. Next, we see Cop Arnold, who's waking up in his apartment and immediately wakes up and puts a gun to his head, very inappropriately. Goes for forehead. I mean, has this guy even... This isn't a cry for help when you're holding it to your forehead. This is just, I have not done any research about how to murder myself with a gun. And luckily, his partner, Bobby, shows up, and he quickly was like, oh, I guess I shouldn't blow my brains out right now. And then starts throwing together this weird mixed-mashed energy drink, I want to call it. He starts blending just whatever's on the counter.
Yeah,
he's
gross.
Just like, oh, let's throw some. Oh, I got this Chinese food here. I got this. I got that. He takes a piece of pizza from off the floor and throws it in. And then you look at Arnold's rock hard body, and I'm supposed to believe that this is his regular diet that he puts into himself as a weird security operative. Tech specialist.
They talk
security.
A lot about him drinking. Maybe this was like the precursor to being like, he does not take care of himself.
Yeah, this guy is a fucking train wreck, let me tell you.
He used to be Mr. Olympian. Now look at him.
Somebody needs to watch more Oprah. Am I right? Get your fucking life together.
We're then transported to watching Arnold at his day job, which he works for a high-end security firm, protecting his new client, who happens to be the devil himself. We see him going around. There's a chopper that's following him.
I have one note here on this, and it says helicopter. Yes.
Yes.
Wait, how do you say that again? The chopper!
Yes, he's called in the chopper to watch over this Lucifer himself. And as the man is about to exit the limo, he sees a shooter on the roof. He pushes the devil back into the car and ends up catches two in the chest. And Arnold falls down, and you think, man, maybe they killed off Arnold in the first scene of this movie. That's it. That would, you know, it would have been better off. But
three-minute film. I paid $17 to get in here.
So they hit Arnold, and then his his buddy realizes, he's like, tell me you fucking wore it. And he's slapping around and he pulls up. He's wearing a bulletproof vest. He's like, get up, you pussy. Even though in reality, you probably have broken ribs and types
you're
of other
fucked
shit.
Up.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you just got hit with a high powered rifle, which, by the way, bulletproof vests probably don't stop unless you have some really super high end one.
Agreed.
Usually a good rifle shot will go right through a bulletproof
vest.
And
by the way, he never at any point identifies himself.
No.
He doesn't. He tells dude, get on the ground, put the gun down and your hands up. But at no point does he say, I'm the police, I'm the FBI, I'm the CIA,
I'm
with the church. Like,
he's none of them.
He doesn't say anything.
He's an ex-cop who runs a security detail.
You can't
He then calls the chopper down so he can ride up. The chopper comes down. They pick him and his buddy up. They go up to the rooftop to try to stop this guy. For some reason, they can't land on the thing, so he ties himself and tethers himself to a rope and then drops down, and the guy's just like, holy shit, I better murder myself. And it's the guy runs and jumps off the fucking cliff edge of the building, and Arnold of course grabs him by his hood just in time.
Oh, thank God.
And then starts shooting at him like a close range gunfight they have like inches away from each other
in midair over a populated New York City.
And then Arnold's still just like, I gotta hold on to this guy, he's only fucking leaving this. Come on. So he eventually drops him through like a part where he goes through a newsstand.
Pretty
Arnold's
awesome.
Just like, oh, this guy's fine. And then he drops down behind him more safely and follows him into a desolate subway system.
But there is one teeny tiny part here where they make you believe, or they let you believe, that Arnold is pulling a helicopter that is still tethered to him while he's on the ground. Like, he's like, oh, he's getting away. Doesn't go to unhook it, just starts walking, power walking, and the helicopter comes with him. And I was like, hold up.
like it's the Macy's Day Parade.
Yeah,
he's
supposed
just, come
to
on,
be,
get over here.
Like
now.
He's attached to a Snoopy. And he's just fucking pulling it.
Don't mind me, I'm bringing it over here to go get this fucking guy in case I need to fly again.
Also, I would like to mention that this is something we don't think about with New York very often, but this is a very interesting period in New York City, which is between the late 70s to the early 2000s. New York had a horrible crime problem. There was it was a lot dirtier than it is now.
Yeah, before
it was
Rudy
terrible.
Giuliani cleaned everything up.
It was terrible. I saw a photo series of somebody who took pictures of Times Square in the late 70s. And back then, it was all prostitutes.
Yeah.
All prostitutes, like, just out and about. It was bars. It was, like, basically brothels, massage parlors. Like, things are so different now. Like, New York was much, much scarier. And think about this. You didn't have your phone to help you get around. There was a lot more crime on the subway, a lot more gang problems.
Yeah. It was basically the movie The Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in real life.
Legit. Like trash can fires and fucking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very scary.
So it was still.
The only way to get in was as Snake Plissken on a glider to land on the Twin Towers. So
it was an exciting time when Baltimore wasn't the nation's crime capital.
Yeah.
So.
Remember the days? Remember then that was a thing?
Remember? Yeah. Somebody pointed out that they were rewatching and posted that they were rewatching The Wire, and they said, he was like, man, it was crazy when this was filmed, like, you know, in the 90s, they were like, man, we can't let the murder rate get to 300. Like, 300 is like a minimum now for Baltimore. Like, oh, of course we hit 300. We're at 340 right now. Like,
January 12th.
They're talking about it would be catastrophic if it got to 300. Yeah. I'm like, spoiler alert.
We're actually at the funeral home where the medical examiner is now turning away some cases. Like, when people are like, I don't know, it might be kind of questionable. The medical examiner is like, we don't have time. We have too much to do. I don't know what to tell you.
Maybe he cut his own head off. It could be a suicide.
Fake news. So Arnold follows this guy into a subway, and this guy is brandishing a gun at him. He's telling him to put it down. He goes, "A thousand years has ended. A thousand years has ended." And then he says, "Put it down, God damn it, now!" And then pops him with two in the chest,
drops
him, and then he walks over to find out that this guy is a priest.
Ooh. Oh my God.
Enter tough police chief Marge, played by CCH Pounder. CCH Pounder comes in and she's saying, were you drunk earlier today? He's like, come on, I'm drinking, but I'm not drunk right now. And he goes, because you said you say something to him. This guy has no tongue.
What?
Ooh, so he said stuff and he didn't have a tongue. Get the fuck out of
photos
here.
Photos or it didn't happen.
So Arnold recovers a pack of matches from him that has the name of a bar, which leads him to find this priest's weird homeless satanic den that
yeah.
he has.
Yeah.
It was really creepy. Like, this guy's weird satanic den that he owns.
It's very stereotypical. Every movie that tries to make you, like, when you walk in a room, it's either they were obsessed with something and you see newspaper clippings in red string.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you see, like, an obsessive thing over and over and over and over. Like, I've been watching Homicide: Life in the Streets, holler, holler, holler. And yes. this guy killed a guy because he wouldn't give him his pen. And they were like, there's no way he'd kill a guy over a pen. They flip on the light to his apartment and he has thousands upon thousands
hanging
upon
from the
thousands
ceiling.
Of pens. Yeah, like strung across string things. He's got them made into decorations around pictures. Like, okay, maybe he killed a guy over a pen. Like, it's always
okay,
the same
enough.
Thing.
Like, I think enough. We have a suspect here.
You're right.
So they're looking around and it looks fucking creepy in there. There's all types of Bible verses written everywhere. There's a pentagram on the wall.
Of course.
They open up the fridge and see a black cat that's just been living in the fridge. It spooks everybody. Like, how long has that black cat been in there? Like, oh, thank God somebody came home to let my cat out.
He's
of the
pissed.
Fridge.
Yeah.
So the cat gets out of there and they see one picture and they're like, oh, we have to find out who this girl is. None of the other shit. They're yeah. like, none of these ramblings. This is a clue right
also,
here.
Also, the picture is in the most disgusting looking jar in the most neglected looking room.
Yes.
Would you ever in your life without gloves, not knowing if there's heroin needles in there,
nothing.
Go, there's a jar in here. He opened it up and just dumped it into his hand. He's lucky a picture is all that came out of there instead
yeah.
of some dried vomit.
Oh, yeah.
What's
that's
amazing
right.
is all the messages on the wall that say "Laces out, Dan."
Yes, so. Yes, yes. In pops Sergeant Marge again, and they're late to the scene.
I have a note about this.
Yeah,
good thing they weren't black, or they'd be dead.
Yes, yes. They literally have a gun standoff, like pointing guns. Come on, you put it down. No,
you freeze. No, you freeze.
No, now. Oh, it's only you. Hey, how's it going, Chief? Sorry, I don't work for you anymore.
So embarrassing.
So they have a brief standoff, and the guys end up leaving. Next, we get to see the first of Christine, who is
who's
played by Robin Tunney of Kraft fame. You get to see her in the picture, and now she is. You saw her in the picture, and now we get to see her with quote unquote. I call him the albino creeper.
Okay.
on the subway, and she's sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy who looks like he's listened to way too much early late 90s Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
He's got like the weird afro haircut where you like make little balls all over your head like
yeah.
this, but clearly looks homeless. And he walks up to her and she goes, he's going to fuck you. He's gonna fuck you, Christine. He's gonna fuck you, Christine. He's gonna fuck you, and keeps saying it. And then she touches his arm, and he shatters like a porcelain doll.
It's pretty cool.
In front of everyone. And now everyone on the subway is looking at her like she's crazy, meaning
what's
that maybe
this,
she's the only one that could see this.
Yeah.
I would say everyone can see it, but it's New York, and that's not the weirdest thing they've
no
seen on
contact.
The subway
yeah.
that
yeah.
day. They're like,
yeah.
oh, it's one of those shattering, one of those goddamn shattering porcelain guys. Huh? You got to watch out for them. They're dangerous down there. Don't give them a dollar. Don't give that guy a dollar, otherwise he'll shatter on you again next week. That was the only bit I had for that.
That was cool. And he talked after he was shattered. Like, what
yeah.
was left of his face? He said, he was like, he's going to fuck you.
Yeah.
Get
you know
ready
what?
For a surprise.
You know what? What I can say is that maybe the devil doesn't have the best wingman in the whole world. You
yeah,
know?
A little weird. A little bit of a weirdo.
You want your wingman to be suave, to get you excited for the devil. Not just like you ever go to the bar, it's like, hey, my friend's going to fuck you. He's going to fuck
no.
you. It's just, you know what, the devil, for being as suave and dapper as he is, really could have done better as a wingman.
Agreed.
He is no Randall Flagg, I'll tell you that.
That is true. The next scene, we are transported back home with Arnold. We see why he's so broken. He remembers the thing that the cop said, 1,000 years will end. He's like, oh, maybe I need to go check my Bible. And so he opens up, he goes into his box in his closet and pulls out the box, and it has the Bible in it, and he picks it up, and then he sees this little music box, and he's like, oh, and he does the worst crying that I've ever seen on he looks at it and goes, oh, like even like how he expresses sadness is, oh, this is so sad, come on. And you
mean
that,
everything doesn't sound like you're lifting heavy weights.
You see that he's a broken man that's lost all of
so
his faith.
Sad.
He goes and flips through the Bible and finds one of the things that was written on the wall, which is 20-7, which is Revelations 27, which tells about the 1,000 years has ended, and it's a thing. It's a thing from the Bible.
How a guy gets shot on the subway, but he has no tongue. But then guy in another subway becomes like a piece of plaster and saying, I'm gonna fuck you. It all says it in the Bible.
Come on, it's right here. It's gonna come back in 1,000 years.
They did that in Exorcist 3 too. He opened like to one page and was like, boom, there it is right there. Mm-hmm. That's all the research I gotta do.
Fucking George C. Scott.
See, the Bible is still so very much in a puzzle, but you open up a comic book. Oh, just read to the end. Oh, okay, that's where we're on. So
now it switches back to Christine. Christine is heading back to her place after her fun exploding man experiment and visiting the graves of her dead parents. She calls her creepy doctor, who is Udo Kier, who reassures her that everything is fine. You're just seeing all of this stuff. Come on. And her it enters her childhood nurse, who actually delivered her, who's Miriam Margolis. And we find out that is now her stepmother. She is been watching over her this whole time, and she says, don't worry, child, all good things will come to you.
So all the people that were at the finger blood sucking initiation when she was born, they're now in her life,
exactly,
as various
molding
people
her.
That she confides in,
right.
She trusts
very much. Calls back to movies like The Omen, who,
yes,
you know, the evil people around Damien are now the people that are also raising him,
yes,
and also and secretly pulling the strings to make sure he grows up into the best Satan in the whole world. And also very similar to a Rosemary's Baby, who,
ooh, yeah, good
you
point.
Know, everybody's on Satan's side, mm-hmm. And that's really the gist of it.
Hell yeah, hell Satan.
Arnold decides to get some goddamn answers, though. So while she's being comforted by pure evil around her, Arnold goes to visit Father Kovac, who he then, you know, asks him about Father, we learn Father Aquinas, who is the gentleman who Arnold shot.
Mm-hmm.
The priest says, you wouldn't understand. And then ultimately they start arguing about faith in this, and then Arnold goes downstairs to find out there's a lady with tied to a bed with stigmata things coming out of her hands and feet and mumbling in Latin, all bloody. And he's like, come on, what is this lady doing here? Arnold is easily ushered out by an elderly priest after that.
I have two things. Number one, the way he said it was, you wouldn't understand! And then he ran, yes, to his bedroom and shut the door. Even though they threatened to take away his phone. Also, I have this note. Really hostile work environment, stigmata library.
Yeah, that's pretty...
Like, there's like 12 dudes at their own desks, like, trying to study for finals.
Yeah.
And Gam Gam is over here bleeding out of her parts and yelling a bunch of gibberish. Like, whoa, can we catch a break here?
Shut up. She's actually about to say the Mega Millions numbers right now. If you guys can shut the fuck up! The next scene we see is Udo Kier. It's at his house. He's sitting down with his wife and daughter. And the devil shows up there. And then they have he just decides, oh, I'm going to have sex with your daughter and your wife real quick and have a weird three-way with
that
them.
That was weird. They, like, folded into each other,
yeah,
and, like,
they're like,
molded. It was fucking gross.
And the weirdest thing is that they're playing Limp Bizkit in the background.
Did
anybody
not even
else
notice
that? They're playing Limp Bizkit, specifically the song Crushed from Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water. Where's your pillow talk at? You're just like, listen, I'm really into this three-way. I am Satan, a god of pleasure. I'm going to, you know, pleasure both of you in ways you've never imagined. Let me just pop this in real quick here.
I felt like...
Gotta have faith!
In 1999, they were like, I am appalled that this man is having sex with both this guy's wife and his daughter in a very incestuous three-way. In 2017, it probably would have been like they were tied up, ball gagged, double dildoing each other's assholes, and then somebody would have been like, this is a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. But it was really creepy overall. I was perturbed. They start melting into each other, and then all of a sudden Christine wakes up and it's a nightmare that she's having.
Oh, God!
So it's a very surreal,
weird scene.
Because
it molded into
scene.
Him fucking her.
Yeah, yeah. It's awkward. Anyway, the next scene, the devil heads to the hospital to go see old Father Aquinas, who's still alive after Arnold shooting him. And he goes, they say that you can see the future, Father Thomas. You must know what I'm about to do. It shows our heroes entering the hospital just in time to find out that Father Aquinas has been crucified to the ceiling above there.
Hell yeah.
And all types of inscriptions have been carved into his entire body. You then see Satan leave that place and runs into a kid, knocks him off his skateboard, who's wearing a shirt that says Satan Rules. And he goes, great shirt.
Kind of looks like the lead singer of Korn.
Yeah, he does kind of look like Jonathan Davis. Yes, he knocks Jonathan Davis off of his skateboard. And then that kid goes, fuck you, pal. And then he ends up getting hit by a bus that was orchestrated by the devil. And he goes, again, it was still a nice shirt, though. He's still like, he'll give him that. They're like, you had a nice shirt, though. I respect that. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to send you to hell real quick.
Still didn't keep him from getting hit by a bus.
You then find Satan is headed down the street to go meet with Udo Kier at their weird secret temple. Cut scene. The priest's body is covered in writing as the detectives are examining him. And then all of a sudden, as they're reading one thing that says, it looks like Christ in York, New York, or Christ York. And then all of a sudden he wakes up and one of the cops just shoots the guy in the head. Just immediately just puts two in his head. Good police work.
Prove that I did
say?
It. Prove that I
prove,
fucking did that.
Prove that I didn't. Prove that I didn't. As they're walking out, Bobby and Arnold are talking about what it could say. Christ in York? And he's like, maybe it says maybe like Chris in New York, or maybe it says Christine York, which is actually the lady's name. Yeah. He thinks of this just like he's probably just didn't have enough moves to write it on his body. It's clearly what the problem is.
The big puzzle of the movie.
And
just
then
like Indiana Jones.
They go back to the police station, check it for 2 seconds. Christine York! Easily.
Oh,
why didn't we know this the entire time? Come on. So at least, you know what? I'll give him, at least they're moving the thing along, but give the partner some credit. Like,
yeah.
This is the part where you're like, oh, your smart, wisecracking partner figures this out, while the gun-toting Arnold didn't need to figure this out,
you can
right?
take the wise out of wisecracking, because every joke they attempted to make between, like, they're friends, they're buddies, they don't take it so serious, like, couldn't have fallen flatter. Like,
you're
everything
right.
was worse than a dad joke. Oh, it was rough.
So, they decide to go check out where Christine York lives, and find out that she's being abducted. And you quickly find out it looks like the religious sect that's sent by the Pope. So they are like basically the Pope's right hand coming out to try to kill Christine before she could fuck the devil. Okay.
The Knights of the Vatican.
And it's a pretty cool little action scene where Arnold piles up some bodies in a gunfight. He ultimately ends up saving her. But when he looks for the bodies, they're gone.
What?
So they disappeared.
What?
So it just looks like he just fucked this house up for no reason, which is kind of badass. After that, the stepmom is talking to Udo Kier over the phone and says, well, I can't take her there now. It's a little too hot. They'll find out the temple if we do. So this kind of pisses off Gabriel Byrne, a.k.a. the devil, and he just turns around and punches Udo Kier's face off, and which is probably one of the coolest parts of the movie,
yes.
Honestly. I've seen some cool head explosions in my day and some poor CGI. I could tell it was CGI'd, but it was so fast and so good that he just like, bah, and just literally smashes his head in one punch.
That guy was really dedicated
cool.
to him. I feel like that was a little of a, he kind of moved a little fast on that decision.
Yeah, yeah. So it now Arnold's been hanging out there for a while. The devil decides that he needs to go there to her.
Fuck this.
He heads over and then pisses in the corner and ends up blowing up Arnold's partner's van.
Kevin Pollak.
Blows up Kevin Pollak with his weird satanic
pee. It made
pee.
Me laugh the way they did it, though, because you just see him taking a pee, and it's like dark. He's kind of a silhouette, but you know who it is and what he's doing. And then they show like the pee like running down the street and then over the curb.
It's exciting to watch pee. By the way, I love taking a piss outside. And I mean, I know as a woman, you probably don't get to enjoy this as much, but one of the greatest things
camping days
is watching how far your pee can go from where you are. When you piss on like a sidewalk or something, I'm like, go. It's going to get there.
Make Papa proud. But then what made me laugh was his partner in the car going... So I wrote down the stench of the devil's flammable piss.
He does. Kevin Polly's like, smells like
that is an ultra strong. It smells like goat cheese and Budweiser. It's so strange.
Smells like napalm. This is weird. All right.
Isn't that what we smelled when that restaurant blew up the other week?
Yeah. It smells like that weird restaurant explosion.
The devil, you don't know this, but the devil loves asparagus.
Yeah. Oh, so Satan blows up at Arnold's partner. Kevin Pollak is now dead, and the stepmom Miriam Margolis ends up having a fist fight with Arnold Schwarzenegger because now she's super strong.
She's winning,
and she fucks Arnold shit up.
I have a note on that. My big fat Greek super strong satanic stepmother.
She actually pins him to a wall with a fucking piano.
Yeah.
She pins him to a wall with a piano, and then Arnold finally has enough and slams her through a coffee table, dismantling her. Later years, we'd find out that Miriam Margolis didn't actually like Arnold Schwarzenegger after the scene because during this fight scene, true story, Arnold actually farted in her face and then laughed at it.
Oh my God. She doesn't deserve that.
By the way, that's one of the funniest fucking things I've ever heard in my life.
I was hoping that you were going to say he felt her up during the fight scene. So.
I just like the idea of like them squatting around and she's like, and then I'll get over here. And he just farted in her face. And like,
Nowadays, somebody would have canned and sold that fart on eBay.
Exactly. So... Miriam Margolis doesn't like Arnold Schwarzenegger and farted in her face.
Rude.
They then see the devil walk through fire and they decide to keep moving and jump out of a window from the second floor and make their way out of there.
Great call.
The devil then goes over and talks to old stepmom and says, oh, you were so close, but you failed me.
He had
and
one ends fucking up, thing to do.
Ends up murdering the fuck out of her because that's how the devil rolls. When you've done your shit, you're done with
this
me.
This is not a good business plan, though, because if you just let somebody feel bad, they'll work double for the same amount of money.
That is true.
You know, you're killing everybody that's faithful to you. Like, dude, who are you going to have at the end of this?
Mm-mm-mm. Now, meanwhile, they escape out into the alley, and CCH Pounder, a.k.a. Sergeant Marge, is there with the cop who shot the priest in the hospital, and they're unloading bullets on Arnold and the Christine.
Book.
So he says, come on, what are you doing right now? He's like, throw out your gun. We need to apprehend you. So he throws out his gun, and then she goes, go ahead and kill him. And instead, Arnold pulls out two more guns and ends up fucking smoking both these cats like bah, 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 bah,
cool
double
shit.
Guns.
That was like 30 shots in 2 seconds.
That apparently he keeps on his neck.
Yes, he keeps those guns on his neck. Those are my neck guns just in case I have to put my hands up and I need to shoot double guns right now.
You never know, dude. It's New York. You never know.
So he ends up smoking both those cats and then they continue on the run out of that alleyway, and then the devil comes up and wakes CCH Pounder back up and says, Large Marge, I need you to come back. I need you to call your friends for this. And also, I need you to scare Pee-wee Herman in a couple of years.
How many films do you think are destroyed by like big time actors? Like, okay, I'm kind of like a special forces cop. So what if I had two guns behind my helmet?
Right.
Well, you know, that doesn't really make sense or anything, but no, it'd be really cool. We'll do it. Fine, Arnold, we'll do it. I guess that it's another action scene. So.
Are you a special forces cop? I mean, we haven't said that you're a special forces cop.
Fine, we'll put it in the scene. Damn it.
Arnold and Christine escape to a small wooded area while they're on the run, and he says, have you ever seen this guy before? And she goes, I've dreamt of him for years making love to me, which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
And he's just like, but I'm scared I'm going to let him in. And Arnold says, we need to get some fucking answers. So they head back to the church where Father Kovac is. And the best way to sum up what this what happens with Father Kovac is they walk in and he's like, okay, there's some crazy shit happening. And he was just like, no, you don't understand. It's the end of days. So he lays out the whole movie for him with this ridiculous yeah. story saying, he was just like, you know, they say the number of the beast is 666. Well, in dreams, everything is backwards. So it's 999.
Then he turns around.
This whole movie was full of arbitrary fucking made up on the fly, super tedious details where they're like, no, this is it. This is what this is. Like, dude, it's the devil and he's come for reckoning. That's all you need to yeah. fucking know.
Were you at Magobie's?
Were you at Magobie's?
Every day.
Were you at Magobie's when, what is his name? Pole showed up?
Who?
Is his name Pole from, the Sarah Silverman show?
No.
It's not Polar. The big doofy white guy that's kind of balding.
Brian Posehn?
Brian Posehn, exactly.
No, I wasn't there.
Because he's the only person I know that I looked up on IMD that was born in 1966.
Okay.
On July 6th.
Oh, no shit.
Really?
So that's the Antichrist right there.
That's cool.
Brian Posehn.
Hey, and he's a fucking... I'm the devil, everybody. Hey, I'm
and
Brian
he's a comic book and metal nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Antichrist coming to take your children.
So they explain that to him, and then he says, he's like, you have to hide her here. It's about faith. And that's when Arnold drops his line that Jeremy murdered earlier. Between your faith and my Glock 9mm, I'll take my Glock. Come on.
That was a really good impression.
That was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
And then she sees all of this. Christine sees all of this and goes, this all feels true to me.
Yeah.
I need to stay. It's a real lie. She goes, this all feels true to me.
Feels very true.
I'm
going to
stay here. Arnold's very skeptical, but you know what? She opts to stay with the people that are probably going to get her killed immediately.
Which, to be fair, if they're trying to impregnate her on New Year's, and it's 3 days to New Year's, she's in her fertility cycle. She's probably just coming off her period cycle. Her hormones are crazy. You can't believe what she says.
You're right.
My other favorite 666 has to be from Lost Souls, where she's with the devil guy that's supposed to turn into the devil at 666, but yeah. The clock in the car says 5:55. All of a sudden, it changes to 666. He's got this look in his eyes, like then she has to shoot him because then he's the devil.
The sixth hour and the 66th yes. minute.
So obviously everybody knows if you're in your car, if it goes from 5:55 instantly to 6:66.
That's awesome. So she leaves. Pope Salamanca is informed that we must protect her. Again, they always just go back to the Pope. He does nothing in this movie. He's just like, keep me abreast of this. He's like, good, keep her protected. That's what we'll do.
He sits in a fancy chair in a fancy mm-hmm. room and gets yelled at by people in red scarf thingies, and then he proves them wrong, and then they shut up. That's the gist of the Pope's involvement to the beginning of the apocalypse.
So, the next scene is we are joined by Arnold, who's back at his apartment again, and the devil is waiting for him back at his place. He decides
to... How did you get in here?
Come on,
dude.
Come on, how did you fucking get in here? I have fucking security system. It's fucking Brinks.
Bruh, you know, look at my hair. I can go anywhere I fucking want, okay?
So, the devil tries to tempt Arnold and shows him a flashback from the past of his children and his wife, and you learn that they are horribly fucking murdered in front of him, and it's really sad.
I don't know why.
Yeah, because he was testifying against a drug ring. The devil explains
that. Okay.
The devil goes on to explain. He was like, "You had to do the right thing. You had to, yeah. you know, other people wouldn't testify against those men, but you did because you're the right thing." And what did he do? He let you down. And I can put all that back. The devil says, "I can put all that back.
Give
I can
you
give you back your family."
Yeah.
And he says he decides to double down and say no. And gives one of the best lines in the fucking movie. If I can get to it fast enough here. Right there. Here you go.
You will never see the girl.
Now you see. Now you're upsetting me. You don't want to see me upset. Believe me.
Oh, you want to fuck with me? You think you know bad, huh? You're a fucking choir boy compared to me. A choir boy!
You...
This has also
you
has,
are a choir boy. Come on.
This has my favorite bit of dialogue in the movie, where he's trying to sell him on the apocalypse and why you should join his side.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the devil, okay? The devil. What do they say about the devil? The greatest trick the devil ever played was convincing people he doesn't exist.
That is true.
They also always say that the devil will appear to you not as something scary, but as something that you will feel comforted and tempted by, mm-hmm. right? So this is the devil with all the powers of persuasion. This is his selling point on the apocalypse. It will be so cool. He's like, join me. It's going to be awesome.
Come on. It's going to be. I like he also says, he's like, oh, don't think of it as that. Think of it as a change of management.
Yeah.
Think of it as that.
I do not work at Best Buy. The fuck? What are you talking about?
I will not let Empire Records become a music town. Do you understand me? That is not going to happen. So he ends up then grabbing old Arnold by the throat and dangling him out a window, then drops him. And in a pretty fucking metal thing, he grabs the broken window ledge to hold on. You see glass go into his hands. You're like, oh, that fucking sucks ass. And then devil starts stomping on one of his hands and you're like fucking his hands all up.
Honestly,
and then,
I cringed more at this part than any other part.
Yeah, glass into things is hard to watch. And then the devil offers him another deal. He says, take my hand and I'll give you everything you ever wanted.
Just
and we'll put everything.
So
all you
simple.
Have to do is
you
take my hand.
You can have everything you ever wanted back.
And Arnold looks up at him. He goes, okay, come on.
I'll do it.
And he grabs him by the coat instead and says, fuck you! And then throws the devil out the window and he crashes headfirst into a car below.
I feel like that fuck you would not have actually happened because keep it, again, he's holding on to a broken shards of glass to save his own life. The devil is stepping on the same fingers that are trying to hold on, okay? He's got not a lot of will to live. We have established he's drunk and he uses all of his strength not only to pull himself up but to grab a full-grown man who doesn't want to go through a window and sends him through a window. I feel like that fuck you would have been saved in energy and he would have thought of it later. Like, oh, I wish I would have said fuck you.
I told you to hang around, devil.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the other good Schwarzenegger movies, he throws a pipe through the guy and then tells him to blow off steam.
Yeah.
Or where he like puts a drill through Benny and says, screw you, Benny. You know, the devil should have like gave him like a soft throw, like, you know, why don't you come up with me? Arnold's like, no, why don't you come down with me, Satan? So,
I would have
liked. Get behind me, Satan.
I would have liked if he grabbed him and then went, see you in hell. And then the devil goes, you will.
But for real, no.
That's a real thing. That's not a figure of speech.
Well, we can't think of anything good here. Just have him say, fuck you.
Come on.
Fuck you.
And then he starts mending up his hands. You get to see the gnarly ass cuts in Arnold's hands.
I didn't look.
And his partner's back alive at the door.
Oh my God.
And he's like, come on, you've taken his body. And he immediately shoots him in the arm. And he goes, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, you're bleeding, you're hurt. He's like, yeah, you just shot me. He goes, stop being such a pussy. Such a
empathy, this guy.
Why is Arnold go so hard? Like, have you ever just, I accidentally shot my friend. Stop being such a pussy. Yeah. I shot you in the arm.
Dude,
come on.
I could step on my friend's toe by accident. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Are you okay?
I have half of my hand ripped off my glass right now. Do you think I give a fuck about your arm? It was pretty good. So they tells him ultimately to go meet him at St. John's Church, which is really just giving away the position of where she is to the devil.
Amateur hour.
Arnold is easily fooled once again.
I thought you were a super secret security, not cop, fucking bodyguard. Like, I thought.
Yeah, what the fuck, Arnold?
God.
You can't trust anybody and immediately you trust somebody.
You act like that 16-hour course you took meant nothing.
Yeah. You act like the ITT Institute taught you nothing.
Yeah. He still has like eight to ten more handguns all around his body that he can pull out at any time. So.
I guess this degree from Phoenix Online University means nothing.
Phoenix, well, you will learn English better than any other language you have learned at Phoenix.
So now they're back at the church, and the bad church people, the Vatican's right hand, is over there, and now they're trying to kill Christine again. Luckily, Arnold shows up just in time, shoots the knife out of the hand of the priest who's trying to murder Christine, and they said, for 1,000 years we prepared for this, and now... all of a sudden, the devil shows up.
Yeah, so did the 1,000-year Reich. Look how that turned out.
Ooh, got him. got him.
I didn't actually see this part of the movie, so I'm assuming that the doors of the church open up and the Pope wheels in and stands up to have the most awesome kung fu fight between him and the devil of the entire movie.
That's exactly what happens. No, the the devil comes, the fire flames go in, he walks in the front door, and quietly Arnold and Christine sneak out the back, and all of a sudden, all these papal folks, he makes short work of all those motherfuckers real quick and starts gunning through all of them, chopping them in half, twisting heads off left and right, and they escape into the alleyway. Arnold and Christine are ambushed by about 30 Satanists in the in that alleyway.
Is that
Arnold
30 starts Satanists in the hallway, or is that a good time?
Yeah, it's actually a Slipknot concert. Yeah. Who knew?
We're doing Wiccan crafts. We thought you'd enjoy.
So Arnold starts to hand-to-hand combat with these folks, and ultimately takes out a couple, but is overcome by the mob, and they start beating the shit out of him. He gets kicked in the face by Satan himself at the end of all this, and Christine is locked in a car with Arnold's partner, who is turned full heel at this point, and all she can do is helplessly watch as her part as Arnold is pounded to a pulp.
I have a note on this. These guys with clearly rubber bats are not fucking around.
No, they are fucking his shit.
As they brought their bats down, you could see them bending.
Like, I didn't notice that.
And then
at
when
all.
They hit them, they like bounce off. Like, you know, when someone hits you with a bat, you have to pull it back up. This, they kind of went with the momentum and brought them back. Oh, God, that just, that tickles me more than anything. When you can see how fake something is, but all the actors are paid to just believe it so hard.
Maybe they were non-lethal bats. That's what they were.
Yeah,
you know,
they're
they
rubber.
Went for they wanted rubber bats, like, you know, rubber bullets.
Well, yeah, they're not trying to catch a body. not fucking stupid, dude. We're all on probation.
We're Satanists and we're also realists.
Yeah,
okay? We
yeah.
don't want to murder anybody yeah. here. In fact, Arnold's the only one who's running around murdering people other than Satan himself.
I want to hurt his feelings and sense of security, not his ribs. Okay, I'm not an idiot.
It's kind of like Admiral Akbar's fingers when he says nothing of that magnitude. His little finger is just.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
That's a good Star Wars reference, Jeremy. And then the devil then strings up Arnold to a makeshift crucifix and then hangs him in the alleyway.
Oh no, I'm being crucified again, just like in Conan.
That's what I was going to say. This is the second time he's been crucified in his movie career, the first one being Conan the Barbarian.
But I was on the Tree of Woe earlier, now I'm on a real crucifix.
This is a real crucifix, come on! And then we're left with locked with Gabriel Byrne locked in the car with Christine as they drive off to Fucktown. So... interesting little tidbit about Arnold being crucified. That was actually one of the few days that his 6-year-old daughter showed up to set to watch Daddy get crucified that day.
Wow.
Which can be found in his autobiography, not lying, Total Recall.
You know,
okay. I'm not lying.
Wow.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's autobiography is called Total Recall.
It was going to be called Get Your Ass to Mars, but he decided on Total Recall.
You know, Martin Sheen brought his children to the filming of Apocalypse Now, and that had no negative effect on them, clearly.
Yeah, they're all okay. So now it is December 31st, 1999, the time where the song by Prince, Party Like It's 1999, was probably played the most in history that day.
And they were like, we're gonna party like it's 1999.
Hey, remember we heard this song a decade ago? We're like, this is gonna be good in 10 years. This is gonna be the best song in 10 years.
20 years.
20 years? What was it?
1980.
Was it 1980 it came out?
Maybe
it's painful.
82.
Or was it on Purple Rain?
Maybe.
Was it before Purple Rain?
Before Purple Rain.
Okay, so 20-year-old song.
The album called 1999. So.
Okay. makes sense. Makes sense. Thank you, Jeremy, for the correction that Joe Robinson used to give, that he doesn't listen to the show anymore. I think we turned him off.
Very big Prince fan, so.
You're very big Prince. Very big Prince. And basically, there's a small montage here. The priest finds Arnold. He cuts him down, rescues him, stitches him up. Arnold heads to the office, gets armed up. There's grenades. There's guns. He seeks the demonic temple in a sub and goes out looking for the demonic temple, which he finds by going into a subway, talking to a blind man who says, "Oh, you got a dark soul. That's cool. Come right on through. Don't worry about this." And he walks into a dark subway and then sees, "Oh, look, there's some torches over there." Always a dead giveaway for a satanic temple is all the torch lighting, you know? So he follows it down, and then there is a giant church underground, like, probably right next door to where the Ninja Turtles live. I mean, it has to be.
Legitimately, yes.
Before you grab your torch, they always give you the option of, "Did you want your goatskin leggings?"
It's yes, also, sir. Thank you, sir.
It's also important to kind of draw a slight connotation here. I mean, this is 1999, you know. It's a movie about basically Satan who has to consummate a marriage or consummate a marriage at about right before midnight on New Year's Eve. Very similar to the 1989 movie Ghostbusters 2, where a baby has to become the son of Satan at New Year's Eve in 1989. I'm just saying, it also takes place in New York. There's sewers. There's a lot of connotations that can be drawn here.
It's all that satanic panic imagery and, like, just general, I don't know, just stereotypes.
And the best sequel to Porky's.
And also, they're doing demonic chants, while also you can hear very faintly... they're listening to Guns N' Roses.
Because you know what?
Satan loves his chanting, but he also loves him some glam metal.
Is that yeah. I didn't actually see it, so was it November Rain?
No, I couldn't pick out the song. I'm sure I could look on the they're just basically a song from the soundtrack. They're like, "We need Guns N' Roses here. How are we gonna do it? Oh, we'll just play it in the background of some satanic ritual." Kids will love that.
I'll take it was Paradise City then.
Yes, it was Paradise City. It wasn't one of their top 10 hits. It was like one off the album that they stuck on there. It's 1999.
I used to love her, but I had to kill her.
It wasn't any of those songs. It wasn't a song that I was unfamiliar with, but I recognized Axl Rose's voice right away. It's not a big one, okay? Arnold then puts himself into the crowd as he started to get that lady on the, you know, Christine is on a giant pedestal up front, and the devil's trying to get her all hot and ready for this consummation
that's about to happen. Which the best way to get a woman straight up wet is to convince her that she wants this. He gets on top of her, and I love this. He's the devil. He's broken the necks of a bunch of priests. He's like pissed, blown up a van with an innocent man in it and an entire restaurant of innocent citizens. But it's at this part where he's like, "I can't fuck you unless you want this. Tell me you want this. You know you want this. Tell me you want this. You, girl, bitch, quit. Quit playing. Listen, fucking want this.
I brought you to this desolate sewer, brought all your best friends here so we could fuck. What else do you want from this?
I don't understand about what being kidnapped and mentally tortured you don't like. By the way, best thing for fertility ever, to make a woman's safety feel threatened and that she'll probably be stabbed in the chest after this.
I'm into the most evil things. Murder, killing, all sorts of evil. But rape, that's just out.
I will say this. Mm-mm. I will say this. At some point, someone must have read the Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey, because it does say in there that there is no, like, you are not allowed to do anything with a partner that is not consenting. That's a very big facet of Satanism, that you are encouraged to fulfill your baser needs, but it is never to be at the cost of an unconsenting entity. You know, it can't be animals or kids or people. Like, there is no way you're allowed to involve someone who's not consenting. So I feel like that dialogue may have come from somebody going, "Wait a minute, we can't write a movie about Satanists and not acknowledge the tenets of Satanism, because it's 99. People are going to get on this basic level internet and be like, actually..."
I was just eating this puppy, but rape is right out.
No, no, because the puppy isn't consenting. Puppy's not down with that.
This is before there were power structures that were in place yeah. that we consent doesn't mean consent anymore. So yeah. if the devil could just chill a little bit, this is not the way we fuck in 2017. Yeah, okay?
The devil gets a bad rap in movies.
So CCH Pounder, a.k.a. Large Marge, finds Arnold in there, and they draw guns on each other, and Arnold shoots first.
Did she or did she not have a face that was like, this motherfucker right here?
This motherfucker always be at the wrong satanic things.
Why you gotta show up when we're trying to party, dude?
We're having our satanic barbecue.
I'm just trying to watch a woman be raped.
Yes.
Why are you doing... You always ruin the fun part.
So Arnold then goes out and busts out the machine gun and puts about 15 up in Satan's chest.
Yeah.
And then grabs Christine and puts a gun to her head and then says, get out of the way, I'll shoot her, kill her. And then she's like, really? He's like, shut up, come on, I'm doing it. He's like, he whispers it loudly enough for all of us to hear, including those like, come on, I'm bullshitting, you know, I just need to get out of here.
Right.
I need to hold you hostage for a couple minutes. And then he's confronted by his partner, Bobby, who draws a gun on him, and Mr. Pollock pulls the gun, and he can't shoot. He can't take out his partner, which means the devil's done with you. He immediately lights him on fire.
Well, it was a breach of contract. They had an agreement. He was like, you're on my side now, and I won't continue to burn you alive.
Well, guess what?
And then he fucked up.
Eternal fire for you, sir. And there was a pretty good burn scene with him.
That was awesome.
He burns for a while. They have a weird fucking Pollock mask they have on this guy that really looks like his whole face is burning.
Anytime a good stunt burn, I'm a big fan of that.
It was pretty badass.
Is this also the scene where he has to send bees against Fonzie? Against Winkler? So
totes.
Okay, don't know what you're even referencing right there. I'm very confused. I tried. I was like, let's see where Jeremy's going with this. And then I listened and I was like, no idea what he's talking about.
Send the bees against Winkler. Hey! Sorry.
I still don't know what he's talking about.
Keep going.
I still don't know. Don't let me slow it down. Okay. Arnold and Christine are now on the run once again. He actually ends up blasting a hole through a subway wall to get into another subway train system.
Awesome.
Almost gets run over by a train and they duck under it. Luckily avoiding the third rail, not getting shot, and then end up getting on this train, and all of a sudden here come all the Satanists and they're running up and he fucking is blasting them. He literally gives Christine a 13-second gun training seminar. He's like, here, you grab this. This is chamber. This is that. You point, and you look down this barrel of the gun, you shoot. She immediately shoots somebody in the heart who's coming up behind him. He's like, I think I got it. Like, it's...
wait a second. The Guns N' Roses song, were they singing Night Train?
It wasn't Night Train.
Damn it.
That made sense.
They can't afford that.
Yeah, the... It was a... You're going to make me look it up, and it's going to piss me off.
I'm on the night train! That's a song about doing heroin, by the way.
What I liked about the gun training scene and then her firing and nailing it was that there was no recoil. She's like this tiny... She's as big as us. She's this tiny little girl. She's never fired a gun, and she, like, had that... One-handed, by the way.
I one-handed shoot Glocks. That's how I started shooting.
And sideways.
And sideways.
Yeah, never.
Can I hold the gun sideways, boss? Yeah, it looks cooler. Of course you can.
Make sure in your police report you write that it was sideways so the judge thinks you're cool.
Oh, yeah. So now they're on the train and they see the devil dead square in the tracks. The conductor's about to slow it down. He's like, no, come on. And he speeds it up. Arnold holds his hand. They run the devil over and they're thinking, oh, that was pretty good. We fucked the devil up pretty good there. Then all of a sudden, the devil starts punching holes through the bottom. Boom. Arm comes up, tries to grab Christine. And he's like, then there's one that comes through the ceiling.
Ah!
And then probably the coolest kill in the whole movie. The conductor's like looking out from the side like, oh man, this is pretty crazy. I never seen anything like this. He then gets punched through his chest, through the fucking outside in, and it's a fucking giant bloody hand that just pops out of the conductor's chest, and then he gets pulled out of the train. And I was like, that was a pretty badass special effect. That was the fucking...
Fuck yeah.
That was probably the effect of the movie.
Yeah.
I loved that so much. They get the idea that if they dismantle and disconnect the car from this car, the devil will be on this one, we'll be on this one. So they disconnect the thing, and Arnold has to do a barely leap back where he has to get pulled back up just barely, and it's fucking exciting. And then all of a sudden the devil looks at it and he was just like, well, this isn't gonna stop me. So he does a jump and he can clearly like fly jump, and Arnold hits him with a fucking grenade right in the chest with the grenade launcher, and then shoots him, and like he takes out all the rails in the center car of the fucking thing and just goes doo, 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 and then explodes him, and it is fucking bad ass.
Yeah, super
God,
cool.
God, it's so cool.
Super cool.
So now they're headed for the giant explosion. They brace for impact, and luckily it crunches the entire train and it stops perfectly at them. And you're like, oh, that was a close one. They then run to a church, and we are reminded that is 11:51, and the devil, Gabriel Byrne, is laying there, and his body is pretty much demolished and pretty unfuckable at this point.
Was that the medical examiner's ruling?
Yeah, his body is very unfuckable at this point. So full active camo devil leaves his body and goes to hunt down both of them.
I was into that, by the way. The see-through Satan.
You
that
mean
was cool.
the big predator?
Yeah,
that's what
I was into that.
It looked kind of neat, I'm not gonna lie. The CGI in this movie isn't too bad.
It's not bad.
Until
we're about
to experience.
It's what they're asking you to believe that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
but the CGI wasn't bad.
So it's now 11:51. I also took the note that said 9 minutes to fuck. So they run into a church. Arnold sprays off some more shots. By the way, second church service he's gone to tonight, satanic and Christian, and decided to shoot guns at. What a monster. Okay. This movie's not acceptable for this climate anymore. He clears out the church and tells Christine to hide. Arnold then this is in 9 minutes. He finds religion in 30 seconds.
He
looks up and he's just like, come on, Lord, please, for this one time, fucking help me. Come on, help me. Do it now.
But he's actually praying to Crom.
Yes, he's praying to Crom. You see a giant statue of the Archangel Gabriel holding a giant sword.
And you know what he's thinking. Christ. You know what he's thinking. He's like, that's me.
That looks like me. I finally love the angel's body. It's finally the right kind of thing I was looking for that I could believe in faithfully.
All they had to do was appeal to my masculine side. See?
So all of a sudden the floor starts shaking, everything starts going fucking ape shit, pews getting overturned, the devil comes up in full CGI form.
He
looks pretty cool, but it's very clearly CGI looking.
It looks cool as shit.
It looks like something from the movie Spawn.
It did. And like I was just waiting for the wings to open. I was like, the wings are gonna open. They're gonna open, it's gonna be awesome. And like you couldn't even see his face for a while because he was so huge and overpowering, and then when you saw his head you were like, that's exactly what his head would look like. It was so fucking cool.
He looked kind of like a devil meets Freddy Krueger.
It was pretty badass. And then his wings opened and I was like, eat that, jeepers creepers, you could suck a dick.
The devil then flies into Arnold, and Arnold does about 40 different screams going,
like if somebody had like a vinyl of Arnold's screams and they were remix DJing
It actually reminded me a lot of the scene from Army of Darkness where Ash is becoming evil Ash. He's like, he's like shaking his head over and over again.
Yeah.
Very similar to that, it reminded me of. And now Christine comes out and she's like, Arnold goes, we won. We did it. We won. And then he grabs her arm and is ready to take her to Rape Town all of a sudden because he's really the devil.
What would the music be during that?
There you go. Sex with Satan. And
thank you, pile driver.
You just, I love when you call for special effects, like sound effects, and I'm no way ready for any of it.
It's okay.
And I can't give you control of the board because you can't have that power.
Once you edit it, it just sounds seamless.
Yeah, after I give Eric an extra 15 minutes of work, it's cool. So then he has a momentary regains control of himself and tells her to run, and then uses his last bit of energy to throw himself on the statue of Gabriel, the Archangel's sword, and then has probably the biggest fart in the whole world as the devil then expels from the hole in his chest, and fire and brimstone and everything flies out, and Arnold has then saved the day and beaten the devil.
Sometimes I like to play a game where, like, my favorite TV show characters end up in a movie I'm watching. And I liked to think, like, what would the characters from Homicide, Life in the Streets, what would they all be saying when they walked in and saw the portal to hell? You know?
Yeah.
Like, they'd probably be like, Pembleton, don't fucking step in there. It's fucking steam coming out of there. It's going to melt your face off. No, I got it. Whoa, that's hot. Yeah. We fucking just told you that. And then Munch comes in like, oh, I've seen this 1,000 times. And they're like, Munch, shut the No, you haven't. I enjoy that. I don't know.
I like Munch. Munch
I love
would,
Munch.
Munch would have seen
Munch
that
has
though.
Only been Munch for like 30 years. Munch,
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Munch would have seen something like that. He's like, oh, yeah, I saw this actually.
I've read about this in a book.
I opened for Robin Williams, and I've actually seen The Gateway to Hell
Funny
many
you should
times.
Say that. Actually, I was watching today or last night, and there is an episode where Robin Williams is in Homicide, and his son is played by a young Jake Gyllenhaal.
Ooh, yes. I'm familiar with it. He's
and,
a serial killer.
And there, this is super cool. There is a crossover episode of SVU, I think it is. It's either Law and Order or SVU, where there's an old case from Baltimore, and Munch and Pembleton show up, and they like they're in the New York version. I don't know if it's Law and Order or SVU.
Are
again,
they picking
but
up John Waters?
John Waters is in Homicide as a fucking bartender,
and he's also a suspect that they have to move from one town to the other.
Oh, so nice. He looks like a suspect.
He does look suspect. So Christine comes over and hugs dead Arnold's arm. And oddly enough, this is the first movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger dies where he isn't a robot. Because he does die in Terminator 1 and 2. So this is the first time he's ever been a human that dies in the movie. So.
Alexa, can you just like come back to life, please? I can't. I'm sorry. I can't.
But I don't want you to die. We've finally killed Satan. No, there's one more Satan. And he has to be lowered into a pit of hell. So. But he puts the thumbs up as he goes into the pit of hell.
I love
so.
You. Come on. The last fun fact about this movie, and this one's going to blow your mind. I think it barely made its money back. It was a $100 million movie. I think it only grossed domestically about $60 million. But worldwide, it did about $300 million outside of the States. And oddly enough, this was the last ever mass-produced Laserdisc in the U.S.
Really?
So you could own this. You could own End of Days. It's the last movie in 1999 that you could have bought on Laserdisc.
Do you remember in the movie SLC Punk, that German guy whose family dies in the plane crash?
Yes, Mark.
He's like, it's a Laserdisc. There's a movie on there. And it's big as a fucking vinyl.
Yes. Oh, I love Mark in that movie.
That's so
he's
funny.
The best.
My brother's head, my mother's arm. Oh,
he also plays Hugo Stieglitz in Inglourious Basterds.
No shit. Okay.
He's
oh
Mark
God.
In that movie. And he's also Hugo Stieglitz.
That's amazing.
Oh, good stuff.
Just watch that.
What, Hugo Stieglitz?
So what's the moral? Bastards. What's the moral of this story?
The moral of the story is, you know, if you're thinking about having sex and you're 20 years old,
yeah,
and you're finally discovering your body, maybe don't have sex with Satan.
Unless you're into that. No judgments. Yes. No judgments. I would say the moral of this story is, you know, no matter what you go through in life, you know, trust literally no one.
Yes, DTA.
No one.
Live by the stone cold Steve Austin
yes.
way. Don't trust anybody.
Nice. So, hell yeah. Classic.
Kimberly, where can people find you?
I am at Panic at the Deli on Instagram and at Watch Me Doing This on Twitter. I say fun things sometimes. The second Saturday shit show is at the Auto Bar upstairs the second Saturday of every month, and it's free. We have Frankie French from DC. She's amazing, and she's headlining in January. That is a free show.
All right, check that all out. You can check out all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Hey, guys, we're on Stitcher and iTunes. Hop on there. Give us a 5-star rating. Follow us. We love you guys to death. Welcome to the new year, motherfuckers, and thank you. God bless.
Yay!
We're still alive. Wow.
Comedy Town, video games, horror, comedy.